is Fantasy Football Today from CBS Sports.
Here we go.
Email us at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com.
Here we go.
It's time to dominate your fantasy league.
Let's go.
Now, here's Adam, Dave, and Jamie.
Monday, May 1st, done with the NFL draft. Let's talk about it. Winners and losers, both rookies and veterans. For example, I'm going to make the case that Mike Evans is a loser. Welcome to the show. I'm Adam Azer with Dave Richard and Jamie Eisenberg. Dave, we missed you on Friday. How you doing, big man?
I'm doing all right.
Good. Good to have you back. And hey, Jamie,
it's great to be back.
Was, you know, Jamie, it's like you never left. How you doing?
Actually, I haven't left the seat.
No, you've been, everybody did great work. Everybody associated with the draft show, you all did great work. Congratulations on a terrific weekend. And everybody who tuned in and followed us, thank you so much. We appreciate it. We have another show coming up on Friday. We're actually going to do a draft on Thursday, and we'll talk about it on Friday, see where these new players are going. And then I should have the winner of the contest by then, so look forward to that. Dave, since you didn't talk about round one, give me your big hot take from round one.
I'm okay with Leonard Fournette. I think he's going to be good. But what really put me over the top on Fournette didn't happen in round one. And the receivers in round one were interesting. I thought it was interesting that John Ross went as high as he did. And I'm not sure what that's going to mean for everybody else in Cincinnati. I kind of think it was a dopey pick by the Bengals. But I'm a little nervous about McCaffrey, to be honest with you. I don't know if he can be this dynamo. Carolina isn't known for dynamo running backs like this. They've never had anything like him before. So I feel like I need to be convinced that he can go in there and catch 50 passes and total 1,500 yards like everybody thinks he's going to do.
You think people think that?
I think people think he's going to go in there and be amazing.
Well, you are referring, by the way, round two when the Jaguars took Cam Robinson. Is that what?
That really helped. Yeah. That helped a lot. Plus, okay, everything that they've done to make their defense better. Mm-hmm. I think everything is setting up for Fournette to be a very good fantasy running back, but I think he will hurt the numbers of everybody else in Jacksonville.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and if you missed the last podcast we did, I gave the stat that the last three running backs drafted in the top 10, that goes back 6 years now, there haven't been that many. The last three all finished as top nine running backs in standard scoring leagues in fantasy in their rookie seasons. That was Trent Richardson, Todd Gurley, and Ezekiel Elliott. And we, of course, had two of those in the NFL draft. All right, so here's what we're going to do today. I'm going to get your top five rookie running backs, top five rookie wide receivers, top five rookie tight ends. Have some fun Twitter polls that give you an idea of what the people are thinking. When to take Leonard Fournette? When to take Dalvin Cook? When to take Christian McCaffrey? These guys going a little bit later than I expected, according to the people. In fact, a lot later, according to the people. But let's do top five rookie running backs, guys, after seven rounds of drafting. Who are the top five? Jamie, I'll start with you. You got your top five rookie running backs for 2017?
I do.
All right, who you got?
Leonard Fournette. Christian
six net because he's gonna score.
That's right. Christian McCaffrey two, Joe Mixon three. I have all three of those guys in my top 24 for seasonal rankings. Dalvin Cook four and Jamal Williams five. And the fifth one I struggle with between Jamal Williams and Kareem Hunt because I like both those guys in the situations that they're in.
Okay, Jamal Williams going in round four to Green Bay, mm-hmm. and Kareem Hunt going to the Chiefs in round three. And he had played 4 years at Toledo. The Chiefs traded up to get Kareem Hunt. He's not the fastest guy. Can bounce off some tackles, but he did catch 41 passes as a senior last year. And how about
What's
this?
What's your favorite stat? Come on.
700 touches, more than 700 touches without fumbling for Kareem Hunt. That's fun. All right, so Jamie's Fournette, McCaffrey, Joe Mixon to the Bengals, Dalvin Cook to Minnesota, Jamal Williams to Green Bay. By the way, Green Bay did say Ty Montgomery will be the starter, even though they drafted three running backs. We'll get to that. Dave, your top five running backs, sir.
Very much in pencil and very similar to Jamie's. Fournette is first. That one's in ink. McCaffrey second, Mixon third, Cook fourth. And I went with Kareem Hunt fifth ahead of Jamal Williams. I think he might be the best running back on the Chiefs right now.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Okay, yeah. Good potential. There are a few guys.
I think he is.
I'll just say I think Samaje Perine has a chance to be – that's going to be the guy that I draft really late for Washington. And I think in San Francisco, Joe Williams. What's going on with Carlos Hyde, guys? Do they just don't seem to want him there?
They don't. I keep dropping in my rankings. Right now he's 12th. I could easily make an argument that Fournette's going to be better than him. The interesting thing about Joe Williams is I don't know if he gets an opportunity right away because Hyde's still going to be the starter there. They're going to use Tim Hightower. You know, Williams is at best, I think, third. But it's an interesting story with Joe Williams, with him retiring, stepping away from football. We had a lot of discussion on our set from Pete Prisco and DJ Williams, former University of Miami and linebacker and NFL linebacker for, I believe, 11 years, where they were talking about watching a lot of Joe Williams, and it didn't seem like he wanted to be hit. And that was a strong point of Pete's, that he just doesn't seem to love football. And when you step away, and the whole story obviously is a little bit different when you hear his side of it. But, you know, very, very interesting if you read Peter King's recount of the whole draft, of him being off the board for the 49ers and then Kyle Shanahan saying that he really wanted him. So, yeah, Carlos Hyde's stock is completely down at this point.
I don't get it. I don't get why it's down, because the 49ers did not make a sizable move to add anybody else. And I don't know if anybody else on the roster is as good as Carlos Hyde.
Oh, I totally agree with everything you're saying, but I think it's more of a long-term situation than a short-term situation. But in the short term, it doesn't set up for him to be in a great spot like we thought he was going to be.
When you say short term, do you mean the first four games of the year?
No, I mean the 2017 season.
So I'm still taking him as a top 12 running back.
I would agree as of now. We can't really talk about this draft, but we did a draft for our magazine, and he fell to the third round. And so I don't know if that's an indication of where he's going to go, but I don't think he is a slam dunk top 15 overall pick anymore.
Okay, that's Carlos Hyde we're talking about. And okay, so yeah, there were a lot of running backs that came off the board. We'll get excited about them now. A lot of them will end up disappointing, but look, you got to take chances. You got to take flyers. And I think P. Ryan in Washington, because I'm going to make a fantasy baseball analogy for you. Redskins running backs are like Texas Rangers closers.
They really are.
They change every year. So, you know, so just a name for you. Samaje Perine, a round four pick who shared the Sooners backfield with Joe Mixon. He did run a 4.65 40, which isn't good.
Are we going to have time to talk about these players, Adam?
Yeah, sure. Absolutely. Let's go to wide receivers then. Dave, how about you give me your top five rookie wide receivers?
Well, I was a Corey Davis guy before this draft started, and I am still a Corey Davis guy after the draft. I love him. I think he's going to be very, very good. Very close to ranking him as a number three fantasy receiver. And by the time training camp rolls around, he could
Guy. He's top 30 guy.
Mike Williams could be up there too. And I think that the Chargers drafting of Mike Williams tells you everything you need to know about what they think of everyone on their receiving core, from Keenan Allen to Tyrell Williams to Dontrell Inman. There are a lot of receivers now in that offense, but Mike Williams to me could be the guy. I know I've been accused of not being a big Keenan Allen guy, and I'm kind of not. I think Mike Williams could end the year the most targeted Chargers player.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that. Okay. I think it's more an indication of Tyrell Williams, though, because this is a guy that they don't have any investment in, and Keenan Allen is tied into them for a lot of money for over the next couple of years.
I think it has more to do with Allen than it does Tyrell.
Oh, I couldn't disagree with you more.
Look at how their offense, they were able to scrape by without Keenan Allen last year. I think they're nervous about him staying healthy.
Sure.
And Mike Williams is, I think Mike Williams is more like Keenan Allen than he is like Tyrell Williams.
I disagree. Mike Williams is an outside receiver. Keenan Allen's a slot guy. I think Tyrell Williams is an outside guy, not a slot guy. And so if you look at, if they're just going to be in two wide receiver sets.
If they're in two receiver sets, where's Keenan Allen?
He's playing on the outside with Mike Williams and Tyrell Williams on the bench, like he was 2 years ago.
Dave, why don't you finish out your top five? So you're going, what was your top two? Is it the first two off the board, right?
It's Davis and Williams, and then I defaulted to John Ross, Zay Jones, Curtis Samuel. But I don't think I'm drafting Jones or Samuel at this point. Maybe Jones in a deep PPR.
And that's how they were drafted. John Ross to the Bengals, Zay Jones to Buffalo, moved up seven spots to draft Zay Jones, who at East Carolina, his wide receivers coach is now the wide receivers coach in Buffalo. And Curtis Samuel, interesting player going to Carolina. And we could come back to this. We'll get Jamie's top five in a second, but let's stay on this, actually. Curtis Samuel, second round pick. Christian McCaffrey, who we know is going to catch some passes. And this report of Kelvin Benjamin, maybe not weighing 280 pounds, but most certainly being overweight right now. The offense for Carolina, is it going to look very different next year?
I hope so. It looked awful last year.
I think that's what their plan is.
Well, is Kelvin Benjamin like a top 60 player at this point overall?
He's slipping by the day. It's very hard to count on him. I mean, he's touchdown dependent at this point.
You can't gain all this weight, dude. Like, this is the biggest year of your career. You got to make your career right now. You can't come out of shape. You can't get back out of shape.
It just seems like, you know, there was, remember the reports out of the, coming into the draft, like, you know, how motivated of a player is he?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's playing itself out.
All right, your top five rookie wide receivers, Jamie, are they the same?
Davis, Williams, Ross, Josh Reynolds, and Curtis Samuel.
Okay, so you're who is out then? Zay Jones is out?
Zay Jones is out, yeah.
Okay.
And I like Zay Jones.
Josh Reynolds for the Rams in round 4.
Yep, they need a receiver. I mean, look at this receiving corps. It's terrible. So he's the only guy of size that they have.
And you have him over Cooper Kupp, who was drafted around earlier.
Yeah, Kupp is kind of, to me, more of a slot receiver type than an outside guy, based on his measurables.
Interesting, interesting that you're going, because I don't have the count here, but it looks like Josh Reynolds was probably, I don't know, 12th wide receiver off the board. What now? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, no, like 15th. No. A lot of wide receivers went rounds 3 and 4, a lot.
It's a very uninspiring class for fantasy right now.
Yeah.
But there are receivers in this group who could break out, and it could be as soon as this year. It could be next year. There's a lot of potential with these receivers.
It is weird that you've got, you know, an uninspiring receiving class, but we also have 3 top 10 picks, you know? I don't know if it's just top heavy or what.
That's what it ended up being.
Yeah, 3 top 10 picks. All right, I want to go to tight ends. Jamie, give me your top 5 tight ends for this year, for 2017. Or top three.
Howard, Njoku, Engram.
Njoku, then Engram, or Engram and Njoku?
Njoku, then Engram.
This year? Okay.
This year, yep.
Dave?
Howard, Njoku, Engram.
Oh, all right. Let's go a little deeper, though. Who else you like at tight end?
Jake Butt would be 4th for me.
Me too. Who's your 5th? Do we have the same top 5?
I guess Garrett Everett. I haven't given much thought.
I gave it to Adam Shaheen.
Yeah. Round Chicago 2 Bears. Pick, right. Round 2 pick for the Bears out of Ashland College. Or Ashland University, I'm not sure. You know, the Rams took the 4th tight end off the board. In the 2nd round, they took Gerald Everett. Was that disappointing to you guys?
He's a little bit of a different player than Tyler Higbee, but I didn't like it. Because Higbee wasn't drafted by McVay. He wasn't part of the, you know, organization when they drafted him. So he's a tight end guy. And so if he doesn't like what he sees, he's going to go get somebody that he does like.
And you mentioned Jake Butt as your number 4 tight end. He was a round 5 pick for Denver. But he tore his ACL in the Orange Bowl, but certainly would have gone earlier. So that's somebody to keep an eye on. And this is a fun tight end class. I mean, like a guy like Bucky Hodges was a 6th round pick of Minnesota with loads of potential. He's a guy that, you know, you probably don't have to worry about him. Certainly not in seasonal, but maybe in a deep dynasty league, Bucky Hodges is someone you should keep an eye on.
On our show, Rob Rang kept, you know, every time we would go to him, our draft expert or NFL draft expert kept saying he was on his, you know, best player available list constantly. Yeah. You know, couldn't imagine why he was falling so much.
Nice. Do you guys have anybody like that? Any sleepers at any position, even quarterback or whatever?
That we like better than where they were picked?
That you could see yourself taking it a dynasty league and you'd be the high guy on. Just someone you kind of have a, you know, a fantasy football crush on right now.
Marlon Mack, running back from USF that the Colts drafted.
Yeah, he's definitely going in every dynasty draft.
Well, I mean, a lot of these guys are going to go in every draft.
Yeah,
but
I
like him in seasonal leagues now, too.
Yeah, for sure. I think Josh Reynolds will be the one for me.
Okay, yeah, Marlon Mack to the Colts. Should have thought about that one, round 4. And, you know, Reynolds we talked about, right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a lot of receivers.
Okay.
A lot of receivers. Reynolds kind of tops the list, but in time we'll see guys like DeeDee Westbrook, Carlos Henderson, Mac Hollins, Juju Smith-Schuster, Malachi Dupre.
I hated this Schuster pick.
Yeah, I hated it too, but I wonder if he finds a way. It's not going to happen this year, but maybe he finds time there eventually. Kenny Golladay with Detroit, Josh Malone in Cincinnati.
Josh Malone's a really good one.
Yeah.
Well, let's do some Twitter polls here because we had a couple of fun ones. Dave had a Twitter poll that said, the team running backs for fantasy are A, a necessary evil, B, the wave of the future, C, but there was no exclamation point, so I probably shouldn't have read it that way. C, a horrible idea. And D, I could take or leave them. That's running backs for fantasy. A, a necessary evil. B, the wave of the future. C, a horrible idea. Or D, take them or leave them.
Well, I don't know if you described that accurately, Adam. It's team running backs. So instead of drafting
what did
a specific I say? Player, you draft all the team's running backs. So your first overall pick might be the Cardinals team running
God,
backs.
God, the drafts would be so boring.
So you would vote for
C. But people were complaining
C.
about what was happening to running backs this offseason and in the draft, and oh, another committee. Oh, another tandem that I'm going to have to go and get. And so I threw this poll out there to see what people thought about the concept of these team running backs.
And I thought the results were interesting because C, a horrible idea, did win with 44%.
Yeah, it should have won.
44% of the vote. But A, a necessary evil got 20%, and B, wave of the future got 26%. So maybe people are coming around to the idea of team running backs. I don't know.
Maybe. Is this the type of thing that softens fantasy football and makes it less variant?
It's weak.
Yeah.
It's
like powder puff fantasy football.
Which team running back would gain the most value? Like the Eagles?
Oh, how about the Patriots?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, that's a good
one. Why go and get Gillislee and hope that he's the guy when you can just you land all 17 of their running backs and woohoo, you get all the fantasy points from week to week.
And then Jamie asks, in a standard redraft fantasy football league, you're taking Leonard Fournette in what round? And he asks the same thing for Joe Mixon and Christian McCaffrey and Dalvin Cook. And really, I don't know about you, Jamie. I was surprised with all of the results. I thought they were all late, the winners.
Yeah, they're all late?
I thought they were all.
What were the results, Adam?
Okay, so where are you taking Leonard Fournette in which round in a standard redraft league? Rounds 4 through 5, 44%. There's Leonard Fournette is not going in rounds 4 and 5. Joe Mixon rounds 6 through 8. This was pretty even, but 6 through 8 was the winner, and the earliest that Jamie even allowed was 4 and 5. So 6 through 8 won that. Christian McCaffrey rounds 5 through 7. That makes a little more sense. It was either 3 through 4, 5 through 7 after round 7, or don't want him.
Yeah, he's not making it there either.
And Dalvin Cook rounds 6 through 8. 6 through 8 for Dalvin Cook was the winner. Yeah, that's an interesting one. Obviously, they got a crowded backfield there in Minnesota with Latavius Murray, who's still not healthy. Jerick McKinnon, who's probably, I can't imagine he's going to have a big role. And Dalvin Cook. But let's start with Fournette. Like, Fournette is, I think, I won't say anything about the draft we just did except to say that I had the number one overall pick. And Fournette was certainly a guy I was considering at the end of the second round, which would have been 24th overall. Thoughts?
I mean, yeah, that's where we talk about this all the time, Adam. When you're on the end and there's a guy that you want and you think he's going to go in the next 10 picks or so, if it's in the range of the players you're looking at, you take him. So that's probably a little bit too soon, but I mean, he's starting to look like a top 30 overall pick for sure.
Yeah. Okay, Dave. When would you take Joe Mixon? Because the people who responded to Jamie's Twitter poll are saying rounds 6 through 8.
I think if you want Joe Mixon, he'll be gone by then.
Absolutely. When would you take him?
I think that even right now, we're in the honeymoon phase of the draft, so all the
He's
rookies
the best
are going to be.
Since then.
He is. I'll tell you what I'm worried about. I'm worried about him. I have a lot to say on this. I'm worried about him becoming the every down guy and getting the type of workload that Jeremy Hill had last year.
Oh, that's happened.
If it happens, then he's going to be fantastic. But I'm wondering if they view him as a guy who, okay, first things first, Joe Mixon is going to return kicks for the Cincinnati Bengals. And if something happens with Hill or if Gio's not ready, Joe Mixon will take that role. And otherwise, and if both of our guys are ready, we'll just sprinkle in Joe Mixon as a change of pace guy. I want Joe Mixon to get that starting job week one right now. Give it to him.
Okay, but let me ask
I'm
you
I'm worried about the coaches holding him back because they did it with Jeremy Hill 3 years ago.
Let me ask you a question.
And they might do it again now.
Perfect example. They did it with Jeremy Hill 3 years ago. If you would have known by week 16 that Jeremy Hill was that guy.
He was an absolute monster.
You would have drafted him.
Of course. Oh, God.
That's the point.
Like 5-6, right?
Because Joe Mixon will be that guy. By the end of the season, you'll say, I wish I would have drafted Joe Mixon here.
The same thing like
Jordan Howard last year. If you knew that Jordan Howard was going to be that guy, you would have drafted him at this spot. That's how you have to project Joe Mixon because he's that type of talent
Can I throw a wrench in there?
No.
You know the wrench that I'm going to throw in there.
Go ahead.
The bonehead wrench. What if he does a bonehead thing?
I mean, again, you can say that about any player in the NFL.
Yeah, but some have a propensity for it than others. And even though Mixon has said all the right things over the last several months, it's a factor you have to consider.
I think you have to consider it. I mean, the Bengals certainly didn't consider it, but a lot of teams refused to draft Joe Mixon. They just didn't put him on their draft board. He punched a girl in the face. And if anybody's wondering, Adam, you said you will never draft Adrian Peterson because of what he did. What are you going to do about Joe Mixon? I don't know. And, it sucks.
I thought you were going to come out and stand on your soapbox and
I don't want to be the guy.
Say the exact same thing.
I don't want to be the guy who does that. The difference for me was with Peterson was how unapologetic he was, you know.
Right.
I don't
want to be the guy who tells people what to do.
Oh, I would never do that.
If you can't stand people because of that and you want to take that into your fantasy drafts, that's fine. I work really hard on focusing on what happens between the sidelines.
Yeah. And that's what we should do. I'm not going to tell people what to do.
Right.
Moral
I'm going to keep my personal feelings out of it.
But, you know, it's interesting. And Dalvin Cook obviously slid as well. There were teams like it made sense. We did the show on Friday, Jamie, and I thought, oh, the Packers are going to take Dalvin Cook. It's going to be amazing. And there is no question. Amateur scout Adam Azer says it. And everything I've read, every analyst I've heard, there is no question about Dalvin Cook's talent. He is unbelievable. And if he has his head on straight, he's got a great opportunity. And one thing about the Vikings, you know, I almost forgot until I read about it again. They got two new tackles in free agency.
Yeah.
And they drafted a center in the third round who might play guard. And interior linemen, I feel like, can make a quicker transition to being a productive NFL player than like a tackle who's dealing with terrific pass rushers. So they might really improve their offensive line. In Minnesota, it's just now he has to beat out Latavius Murray. Yeah, give me your thoughts on Dalvin Cook. What did the Twitter poll say again? The Twitter poll was rounds five. No, that's McCaffrey. Round 6-8 for Dalvin Cook. Are you kidding me? No chance.
He won't be there.
No,
he won't be there. And the offensive line is also an issue for Mixon, but it is for all the Cincinnati running backs. And the unfortunate thing about Cook, because I'm like you, Adam, I see Dalvin Cook play and I think he's phenomenal. He's in, I would say, an even worse spot than Joe Mixon's in.
Oh, that's not even close.
I think it's worse.
By far.
Because the competition is tougher. The coaches are even more old school about letting rookies play. And we just don't know about the offensive line. I'd like to think that the upgrades that the Vikings made on their offensive line puts their line ahead of the Bengals offensive line, but it doesn't make it a good offensive line. It just makes it better than the craptastic five that they had wearing purple last year. I want to jump on the table in front of me and say Dalvin Cook is a top 20 fantasy running back. But I know that he's in a worse spot. I wish he had gone anywhere else.
The latest report was that Philly really wanted him.
Oh my God, that would have been awesome.
And the Vikings jumped in front of them to take him.
That would have been awesome.
That would have been the perfect thing.
I would have been mad if the Patriots took him.
Would you guys rather have Marshawn Lynch of the Raiders or Dalvin Cook of the Vikings?
I'm forced to say Lynch here.
Oh,
I think he'll score more touchdowns. And
Dynasty, it's Cook, but Lynch right now.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Dynasty, it's Cook over Lynch. How about Amir Abdullah, who's going to be the starting running back for the Lions, or Dalvin Cook?
Oh, Amir Abdullah for this year.
This is the thing that I hate about Dalvin Cook landing in Minnesota, and I'm hoping that I am hoping that Latavius Murray wins the Powerball.
But you like Murray, though.
I have to, because
Why?
I think he's going to get a, I think he's going to end up being
on a team that's going to struggle to score touchdowns.
I think. Well, they
I
might
think you're
not.
Crazy for that one.
Cook might line him up there.
Touch Latavius Murray anymore.
I don't like it, but I think you have to look at the potential for him to get you 700 to 800 total yards and 7 to 8 touchdowns.
I'll take the under on both.
Do you think Dalvin Cook gets more than that?
I think Cook gets more touches, more yards, and I think the touchdowns are going to be somewhat close, which will both be around 6.
Oh man, it's tough. Like when you just look at back to the original question, Amir Abdullah versus Dalvin Cook.
Yeah, I hate that I have to say Abdullah here.
Love that what the Lions did with their offensive line, and I love that they didn't do anything to upgrade their backfield at all. And
they added an undrafted running back. They added an undrafted running back.
Woohoo!
That's bad news for Dwayne Washington.
They were giving Abdullah every opportunity last year to run away with the job, and he got off to a good start with the first two games before he hurt his foot. And so, is it unfortunate? Yes. Could you say he's injury prone because he played through a shoulder injury as a rookie? You can make that argument, sure. But he was a pretty damn good running back in college. I think he had an opportunity last year to sort of prove that. Riddick hurts him. There's no doubt about it. But this is a great situation for him because, you know, we talk about all these offensive line upgrades, and they brought in two of the best that were out
there. And they drafted a good one last year, too.
And they drafted a good one last year. So
yeah, they signed TJ Lang and Ricky Wagner this offseason.
Yep.
Are they kind of in the same situation? Talented, high upside running back, Abdullah and Cook. Talented, high upside running backs who have these terrible goal line bruisers that they've got to share.
I don't think Detroit has a terrible goal line bruiser.
Riddick.
Zach Zenner is
no,
a terrible.
No, it's Riddick.
Riddick's a terrible goal line bruiser.
Well, it's terrible that he's there stopping Amir Abdullah from getting those touchdowns.
Why would Riddick get that, though?
Riddick is a touchdown goal line bruiser?
Yeah.
Why would Riddick get that?
Yeah, he can score.
Well, of course he can score, but he's a scat back.
I think he's better suited for that role than Abdullah is.
What?
Yeah, for the goal line?
What?
Yeah, really.
Wait. Question. Let's think about this. How many teams, and I don't even know the answer. I'm just thinking out loud. How many teams actually have goal line backs? Like, I think that's kind of an overrated
Patriots.
Thing. the Patriots, no, but he had like, how many carries did LeGarrette Blount had? He had 200 something carries, right? So.
Yeah, but, I mean, if you want to just talk about a goal line guy. But you're just talking about somebody that's going to go in and take somebody off the field.
How many people have like a goal line? How many teams have a goal line?
You make an
scavenger?
Argument that the Saints do.
Maybe, but it's pretty rare. Like we worry about that. But even like Giovanni Bernard and Jeremy Hill were splitting goal line reps. I was charting it every single game.
Okay, but then I want a running back who's not going to.
When I start getting into the guys that are in their 20s, I'm not expecting double digit touchdowns. If it is, then I'd rank them higher. I'm looking at somebody that's going to hopefully get me 1,000 to 1,500 total yards and 6 touchdowns, and I think Abdullah can do that.
Yeah, I think Cook has so much more upside, but
it's that opportunity.
Sure, if you're talking about Cook if Cook was in Detroit, it'd be a great situation.
Yeah.
If Cook didn't have Latavius Murray, if it was just Cook and McKinnon, let's say they never signed Latavius Murray and they just drafted
Maybe they
Cook.
Void his contract because of his ankle.
Maybe they do. Then it's a great situation.
Well, they really can't,
Cook.
But
are you going to take where do you have Frank Gore? Like rank Joe Mixon, Frank Gore, Dalvin Cook.
Mixon, Cook, Gore. And I have Gore and Cook back-to-back, I think. At some point, Gore's going to break down. I just don't want to have a part of that. And I think Marlon Mack's one of the best sleepers you can find this year.
Let's do some news and notes, guys. Jacksonville picked up Blake Bortles' fifth-year option. It's going to pay him about $20 million in 2018 if he's still on the team. They can cut him unless he gets hurt, and then they're going to be on the line, I think, for all that money. The Bills fired GM Doug Whaley and their scouting staff one day after the NFL draft. Ouch. Philadelphia expected to go running back by committee in what should be Darren Sproles' final season before retiring. So, Wendell Smallwood or Dalvin Cook? Where do you put Smallwood?
Small's got to prove himself first. If Matthews is on the roster, it's a wait and see with Smallwood.
And the rookie they drafted is like Sproles Jr. That's what I called him, right? Sproles Jr.?
Yeah, I mean, I would think he's...
I'm not going to call him by his real name.
He's a little bit more of an explosive rusher, but same size.
I think his real name is Donnell Pumphrey.
Pumphrey, yeah. That is
his name. Name is Sproles Jr.
Fourth round pick. The other guy who's been talked about as a Sproles Jr. is Alvin Kamara of New Orleans, by the way. Sure we'll get to that. All right, so
Tyree Cohen kid, too.
Would you rather...
Chicago?
Yeah, for the Bears.
The guy who can... catch a football while he does a flip in the air. Did you see that?
Mm-hmm. He's 5'6", Tyreek Cohen, round 4 pick of the Bears. And the Bears love these small schools, huh? So, who's I going to say? Oh, Kenneth Dixon or Smallwood?
Dixon.
Dixon for sure.
Who I have too low in my rankings.
Dixon's in a great situation too.
Yeah. I really thought that they would have drafted somebody and they didn't. God bless the Ravens.
Jamal Charles visited Denver today and there's some interest there. What do you guys think about Jamal Charles on the Broncos?
I think it makes a lot of sense for Denver, but I would hate it for fantasy.
Yeah, you think he would just be a pass-catching guy, or you think he takes away from C.J. Anderson?
He would take away from C.J. Anderson a little bit, but, I mean, it's the same thing when you sign these old running backs. They're not going to last, especially a guy coming off of the knee problems that he's had. So, from their standpoint, look, they got rid of Capri Bibbs. They didn't address the position at all in the draft. So their depth is
hurt. I think they did. I thought they added a running back.
Oh, you're right. DeAndre Henderson.
Yeah. D'Angelo Henderson,
excuse me.
Who's not bad. They're doing what Philadelphia's doing. They're doing what a lot of teams are doing. They're just going to get a bunch of running backs on their roster and see who sticks.
So, Dave, let's talk about veterans, NFL veterans, who are winners and losers. After round one, Jamie identified Jameis Winston and Marcus Mariota, excuse me, as winners.
Yep.
You want to pile on there?
I think Jameis Winston might be the biggest winner of the entire draft. Getting O.J. Howard, the Bucs did draft a running back. It was Jeremy McNichols. I don't think Jeremy McNichols is amazing. I think he's a capable, serviceable running back and a guy who can provide quality depth. So this is a team in Tampa Bay that I think will end up leaning on the run a lot, or on the pass, rather, a lot. I think their run game is a huge question mark. And I think the weapons that Jameis has right now are incredible. They're going to be difficult to defend. He should have a monster year. So he's my favorite. I'm going to be the Phillip Rivers fan no matter what. And I'll always, you know, be judged by it. But I think he's going to end up having some great weapons too. And he's got so many receivers that he can throw to that can make plays. And his offensive line has gotten so much better. That he could be in line for a very, very huge year.
Yeah, absolutely. Those quarterbacks looking good there. And Mike Evans. All right, Jamie, I think Evans has to be considered a loser. That doesn't mean he's not going to be great, but he was the number two wide receiver in standard. Evans was number three in PPR behind Nelson and Antonio Brown. And yeah, no, they add O.J. Howard. They add DeSean Jackson. And you know what I always say about Mike Evans, when he didn't have all the targets, he didn't do that well. Single-digit targets, he usually didn't score double-digit fantasy points. So I see, in one respect, I see DeAndre Hopkins comparisons. The targets went down, the production wasn't as good. But then again, Hopkins was on such a bad offense, and I don't expect that to be a problem for Tampa Bay. So is, in your opinion, Mike Evans a loser, and if so, how much?
I mean, just by nature of them adding bodies, he's a little bit of a loser. But I still think when you look at it, once you get past the top three guys of Brown, Julio, and Beckham, because those are going to be the three guys drafted across the board, and you ask NFL people, you ask fantasy people, that's kind of where those three guys are going to fall for the majority of it. I think it's a toss-up now because Evans has company and, you know, significant company at that. There's, you know, Jordy Nelson coming off of a big year, and the last time that, or every time that he and Aaron Rodgers are healthy, they put up top three. He puts up top three fantasy potential. If AJ Green had stayed healthy on the pace he was on last year, and you could say that the additions of John Ross and Josh Malone and, you know, still keeping Brandon LaFell and hopefully Tyler Boyd's better and Tyler Eifert's healthy, there's a lot of mouths to feed there, but they're all young outside of LaFell and Eifert, but Eifert can't get on the field. So AJ Green, if he had stayed on the pace he was on last year, would have been 117 catches and 1,700 yards. That's what it is, which would have blown away the field. He only would have scored seven touchdowns, but
who cares? He would have been
Julio Jones on steroids from what we've seen from Julio over his career. So he could easily do that again with that defense falling apart. So I think I just knocked Evans. You know, at one point I had Evans third. I thought with the addition of Brandon Marshall, that lowered Beckham a little bit. Beckham's now back at three. AJ Green's back at four. Evans to me is five, but they're all great. I just don't see it. I know you made the comparison before about DeAndre Hopkins. I think the quarterback situation really is the difference maker there. Yes, there are additional mouths to feed in the Tampa Bay offense, but he's still the top dog.
Oh, yeah.
Aren't there a lot of mouths to feed in New York too?
There's, you know, I don't know how much Ingram's going to really take away from Beckham.
I'm worried about the red zone with Brandon Marshall there.
Brandon
Sterling Shepard was a red zone monster.
Yeah, but I think that's where Marshall takes away from. I mean, he's going to hurt Beckham, obviously, but you look at what Beckham is to Eli. And when Eli's one of those guys, when he gets panicked, he looks for his go-to guy.
Doesn't Jameis do the same thing?
We'll see. Jameis
or
never
does
had,
he do that with his tight end?
Jameis never had a good receiving corps.
Right.
You know, so good supporting cast. So, you know, you're asking O.J. Howard to step in as a rookie tight end. We just don't see rookie tight end step in and make a ton of plays.
I'll say this for Beckham. He only had 4 touchdowns under 10 yards. So he had a 75-er, a 66, 26, a 10-yarder, a 32, and a 61. And that's not out of the norm for him. I mean, he's a big play guy. But yeah.
Well, we talked about this also his closing stats, Adam, on the last show.
Yeah.
21 of 26 games in November, December, and there's, I think, one game in January in there. He's hit double-digit fantasy points in Standard League 21 times. He's averaging 16.9 points, fantasy points a game, in the last 3 months of the season.
I'm going to say a few things. One, if there were no injury concerns with AJ Green, I would take him over Odell Beckham. Two, I might
take...
As
their best receiver?
Yes. Two,
But what's the injury concerns? He popped his hamstring once.
No, he's had 2 years with injuries, AJ Green.
Are these back-to-back years?
2 out of 3, right?
That's what I thought it was.
What was it, a shoulder?
I don't know. He missed a lot of time that 1 year. I thought.
I don't know. He was 37 yards shy of being tied with Randy Moss for the only receivers in NFL history to start their years with 6 straight seasons of 1,000 yards.
Okay. 2014, Green played 13 games. 2015, he played 16. 2016, he played 10. So he has missed 9 games in the last 3 years. All right. Maybe it's not huge, but it is 2 out of the last 3 years he's missed at least 3 games.
You're not worried about mouths to feed in Cincinnati either?
Nah, he's so much better. He's so much better than those guys.
Yeah, they're all young guys. Like the thing with Evans is DeSean Jackson, because that's 2 or 3 touchdowns off his plate.
Right.
And that's, you know, with Howard and Brate still there, that's 2 or 3 touchdowns off his plate too.
That's more.
Huh?
It's more.
No, I'm saying from Evans. I don't think Evans is going from 12 touchdowns to 6. He's probably going from 12 to 8.
Okay, so here's what I was going to say. One, if there were no injury concerns, I'd take him over Beckham. Two, I might take A.J. Green over Beckham anyway. And three, this is a little controversial. I think A.J. Green is actually a better wide receiver than Odell Beckham Jr.
Wow, you're changing your tune.
Just kidding. Nah, I am not changing my tune on that. But he is damn good for sure. All right, what else we got here, guys? You want to just go through some... Oh, more winners and losers. I'm sorry. There were much more to talk about. Latavius Murray. We've mentioned it, but have we really talked about Jamie? I think you said you don't want anything to do with him. When would you consider taking Latavius Murray?
Well, after round 8.
When did I get him in this draft we just did? He's my number 3 running back.
That's risky.
A bunch of players ahead of him.
Was it
round
6?
Round 7?
How
about,
yeah,
for now that's where I'm at with him.
How about Smallwood or Latavius?
But you said I'm ranked in your top 20.
Yeah, I got to change that.
Smallwood or Latavius?
I'm not ready to anoint Smallwood yet. He's not in my top 60 running backs.
All right. Okay, that's fine.
I have to see if Ryan Matthews gets cut, that changes.
And Spencer Ware. How do you feel about Ware?
Huge loser.
I like Hunt better. I just think that, you know, we saw enough from Ware, and I'm sure of the three of us, I was the Ware guy. So I don't think he's completely losing his job. But he's getting a lot of competition for touches, and so if Hunt comes in and runs away with it, he's going to be a steal. My two favorite sleepers coming out of the draft are Kareem Hunt and Jamal Williams, with Marlon Mack a close third.
All right, talk to me about this Jamal Williams thing. Why? Yeah, okay. Obviously, you're just going to go with the running back the Packers drafted earliest, which was round 4. But give me your take on the Packers' backfield.
I mean, Williams was one of my favorite running backs going into the NFL draft. So he's a physical guy. I think he could take over for Eddie Lacy, what they used to have with that. And I think he's going to be the one scoring touchdowns there. So we'll see. I think he's got to prove he catches the ball a little bit, because that's important to the Packers offense. That's not necessarily what his strong suit is.
Is it Ty Montgomery on third down and changing of the pace? Or
no.
It would go against what McCarthy wants.
I think they have to go that way, though.
I just think, again, you're starting to see teams. The trend is, at least if you want to buy into it, the Saints trying to be a little bit more run heavy, improve their defense, take the stress off of Drew Brees.
They're doing what Dallas did.
The Packers maybe trying to do something similar, take some of the stress off Aaron Rodgers. Williams, I think, is their best of the rookies that they brought in. Aaron Jones is a guy that's got a ton of talent, but he's just not a very physical guy. I think Jamal Williams could be their replacement for Lacy.
Okay, but let's just talk about Montgomery and what his role is going to be. They say he's the starter. Doesn't really matter what they say right now. By week six, let's just say, which running back in Green Bay do you think gets the most carries?
Jamal Williams. Montgomery was essentially their starter last year. They didn't trust him in terms of
double digit carries. He had like 11 touches per game. And like,
he had the one game with 16 carries against Chicago.
It was his only time with over 10.
Mm-hmm.
A ton of his stats came in that game. Like 35% of his, either his rushing yards or his total yards, and 2/3 of his touchdowns came in one game. Against a crap defense.
That is interesting. And they did cut Christian Michael, by the way.
Okay. Oh, no.
Yeah.
How much time have we spent over the years talking about him?
By the way, I wanted to mention something on Leonard Fournette. Fournette caught 19 passes last year. That was the most he's caught in any season. I don't know if it was last year. That, by the way, is the same amount of passes Melvin Gordon caught in his final year at Wisconsin. And Gordon, of course, caught 41 passes in 13 games last year. I think Gordon looks more like a pass catcher than Fournette. But just wanted to make that point because college stats can be misleading. Guys just don't catch the ball as much out of the backfield. Dave, give me your thoughts on the quarterback class for Dynasty.
I think the best one for fantasy purposes is Deshaun Foster, because I think he'll start much sooner than
Deshaun,
anybody else.
But Deshaun Watson or Kaiser?
Deshaun Watson. Did I say
Deshaun
Kaiser?
Foster.
I said Foster?
Yeah.
Let me tell you something. I have been saying Deshaun Foster for like the last 5 days, and I catch myself, because I think about this stuff when I'm at home or at work or whatever, and I thought to myself, what am I going to do when I invariably say Deshaun Foster? And so the answer is I'm going to do push-ups.
Right now?
I'm going to do 10 push-ups right now as a penalty for bringing up crappy Deshaun Foster instead of saying Deshaun Watson. Here we go. Two.
This is happening, Jamie?
Three.
Oh, yeah.
Four. Five. Six.
Sounds out of breath.
Seven. Eight. Nine.
A lot of time
ten.
In between those push-ups. All right.
All right. Next time I do it, I have to do 11.
Okay. All right. Deshaun Foster, former Panthers running back. So you said Deshaun.
That'll teach me.
Jason Lockenfora had a note on Deshaun Kaiser, who went in the second round, 52nd overall to Cleveland. He said that Kaiser fell because of concerns about his leadership ability. And, you know, one executive said, you talk to Deshaun Watson's teammates, you talk to Mitch Trubisky's teammates, Mitchell Trubisky, and they, oh, that's our guy, we love him. And with Deshaun Kaiser out of Notre Dame, it was more like, oh, he's a cool dude. So I personally don't think the Browns should have drafted a quarterback.
I think I'm having a heart attack.
if he's not going to be that good, then it's just like, it's just going to cause controversy next year when they do take a quarterback in the first round.
What if he is good?
Yeah, if he is good, then sure, they should have taken him. But, we know he's not going to be good at first. We know he's not going to be good this year, because even Brian Kelly said that.
If that offensive line is as good as we think it could be.
But even Brian Kelly, his coach in Notre Dame, said he should have stayed another year. So I don't think you can realistically expect much.
Okay. Pete Carroll said the same thing about Mark Sanchez, and Sanchez took the team to two AFC titles.
He didn't play well, though. He didn't play well.
AFC championship games.
He wasn't good.
No, but he could have good team success. It's a stretch. It's a huge stretch because it's the Browns. But that offensive line is going to make a lot of things look better.
All right. It's a big stretch, though.
Is he this year's Dak Prescott?
Everybody's going to look for that guy. Everybody's going to look for that. But it's hard to
say. He doesn't have a receiver like Dez.
No.
No. Best chance to beat Dak Prescott this year would be Deshaun Watson, you think?
I mean, but what are we talking about? Because Dak Prescott was a fourth round pick?
Yeah, just a rookie that's going to come in and be.
Yeah, it
really
should be Deshaun Watson because he's going to the team most likely to win.
Watson.
Hmm.
Deshaun Watson.
Nate Peterman for Buffalo? What do you think?
Could be.
He's
but,
got
I mean,
a shot, but.
You're saying they have no faith in Tyrod Taylor.
They wouldn't have brought him back.
It would have to be a mid-season change.
Huh?
Mid-season change.
Sure. Could be Trubisky.
C.J. Beathard, San Francisco, third-round pick.
Could be.
Obviously, it's going to be Brad Kaya for Detroit. And Denver.
God.
Denver.
What if it's Pat Mahomes? What if Alex Smith, like what happened with Colin Kaepernick?
Yeah. Except even if those guys play, it's just, I'm sure we wouldn't look at them as must adds unless it was a two quarterback league.
Look at them as what?
Must add players.
No, but we said the same thing about Dak last year.
Yeah. Yeah. Any rookie on offense going to the Cowboys, it was just a perfect situation.
Sure. But, I mean, how good would the Chiefs' offense be if they had a quarterback that would throw the ball down the field?
It would be good. Which wide receiver would benefit from it?
All of them.
Yeah.
Kelce probably the most.
Mm-hmm. Okay, other running backs you want to talk about? Anybody that we haven't spoken about? Dynasty stuff?
I'm bringing up my list.
I mean, we said we like Marlon Mack. I think it's mostly for me, at least, just because of Frank Gore's age.
Right.
I like his speed.
I think people are going to freak out.
I like his versatility.
Freak out a little bit about Kamara going to the Saints and is it Deontay Foreman?
Yes.
Dante.
Going to the Texans.
It's Dante?
I thought it was Dante.
There's an apostrophe, so I thought it was
Deontay.
Deontay. Deontay Foreman, 323 carries for over 2,000 yards in his final year at Texas. He caught a total of 13 passes in three seasons. He's 6'1", 249 pounds. So do you think, and I don't think, but do you think Deontay Foreman could, I kind of did a combination of the two there, could possibly get goal line work in Houston?
Sure. And think about what the knock on Lamar Miller was for the majority of his Miami career. Lack of touchdowns.
Yeah, and right, and inability to handle a big workload. So I do think Foreman, look, they drafted a running back in the fourth round last year. That doesn't matter anymore. That's Tyler Irvin. Foreman could get, what, 6-7 carries a game?
He could, and if Lamar Miller can't keep up a good rushing average, he'll get more than that. I think this is the type of running back that Bill O'Brien loves. Just a total horse of a guy who he can just jam it up into the A and B gaps with.
And I know that Dave has to skedaddle here. So Wayne Gallman, round four for the Giants. What does that do to Paul Perkins?
Ben McAdoo said today, or yesterday, one of the two, that Paul Perkins is our starter.
Yay!
Yeah, Gallman's got to earn playing time. But he's another one of these big-bodied guys. I think he's a good fit for what the Giants run. But he's got to outwork Perkins to get a role. He's a good late-round pick, I think.
For sure.
I think Foreman's a good late-round pick. Like, I'm taking Gallman ahead of Foreman.
I would take Gallman ahead of Foreman, too, because his path to playing time is much easier. Just like P. Ryan's path to playing time is much easier.
Mm-hmm.
It's honestly tough to keep up with some of the names, you know? So
there's a lot of running backs this year.
And if you're a Le'Veon Bell owner, James Conner's your guy right now.
Conner.
You have three straight years of Le'Veon Bell getting hurt.
Conner. What was that, Terminator? Very good, Dave. Very good. I'm willing to call it a show. Oh, man, we didn't get to the emails. I'd like to read the emails. Dave, you don't have much time, right?
Get to an email.
Right. Aaron in outer space has two keeper questions. Standard scoring, Deion Lewis, and all four of these are round 11. Deion Lewis, Malcolm Mitchell, Tyrell Williams, or Paul Perkins?
He needs one of them?
Mm-hmm.
Paul Perkins.
I think Perkins leads the pack right now.
All right, this is a PPR league, 12 teams, one-year keeper. DeMarco Murray in round four or Melvin Gordon in round four? Melvin Gordon.
Gordon.
Thank you. From Kelvin, he needs to keep one of these. He's already keeping Watkins and Evans, so keep one more. Ty Montgomery for $16, J.J. Nelson for $1, Brandon Marshall for $18, or Marcus Mariota for $1.
Ooh. It's between one of the dollar guys.
I take Mariota. He's another. I mean, I know Jameis, it seems like the flashier of the two, but they gave Mariota two rookie wide receivers. One is, Dave said, I agree, he's the best run on the table. And the sky's the limit for Mariota this year. I think they're
I think it's the better way to spend a dollar.
They're one and one A.
Okay.
Winston and Mariota and how they improved.
That could be really big for the NFL, those two guys.
Of course.
Right. Kind of take the mantle. Okay, Mike from Detroit. Dear Calvin, Charles, Michael, and Titus, those are Lions receivers. What's up with the snake draft? It kills me. I think drafting with an NFL draft format would be as even and help with drafting in a 10 or a 12-team league. How could you possibly make that case?
So you're telling me that the team that picks one and gets their choice of any running back they want also gets to pick 11th or 13th overall?
Yeah, I can't imagine that.
It's a huge advantage for the team that picks
huge.
One.
Huge.
The difference is you're doing that. If it was a dynasty league, I can understand it because then you're talking about established
rosters.
Because
the crappy teams get that advantage. Right. That's the whole point of the draft order.
But a startup draft?
Right.
Start or redraft league? No way.
Yeah, no, I don't like it at all. Okay, we've got dedicated listener Andrew says, "Dear Leonard, Malachi, and Duke." Those are LSU.
Yeah.
Duke Riley, Leonard Fournette, Malachi Dupree. And Dynasty Keeper League, PPR, start three wide receivers. I have to keep Keenan Allen. I pick fourth. If Corey Davis is gone, should I take Mike Williams since I have Keenan Allen? Or should I go with O.J. Howard?
Mike Williams.
Mike Williams.
And it helps that it's a PPR league.
Watching O.J. Howard highlights.
Woo! Oh, he's outstanding. Woo! Mike Williams is pretty darn good too, though.
Yeah, I know, but tight end. Wow.
Right. Yep.
Last one from Big J. Hey, Thorny, Farva, Rabbit, and Mac. Super Troopers. Come on, guys. Half point PPR league, $200 auction budget, previous cost plus $5 to keep a player. I can keep Delanie Walker and Davante Adams for a combined $23. I also have T.Y. Hilton, who would cost $42, Mark Ingram at $39, and Carlos Hyde at $36. If you had to pick up two of Hilton, Ingram, and Hyde, who would it be? So Hilton at $42, Ingram at $39, or Hyde at $36. He's already keeping a wide receiver and a tight end. Who would you take?
I'd throw back Ingram.
You throw back both?
Yeah, it's
you might
good.
Be able to.
Save the money?
Can you rebuy Hyde at less than 36?
Depends where you are by the time we get to training camp. Right. He's still coming off the knee injury, says he's not 100%.
Yeah.
Joe Williams has a big
Then he'll go for under 30 in that case.
Yep.
Oh yeah, for sure.
And there's no way Ingram's going to go for 39. So if you can throw them both back and just save that money, I think you should do it.
It is $200 budget. Keep that in mind.
I know.
Okay, guys, thank you very much. Dave, welcome back. Good to hear from you. And on Friday, we'll review a draft that we're going to do, which should be a lot of fun. We'll see where these guys are going. It's going to be a lot earlier than Jamie's Twitter followers believe. So for Dave and Jamie, I'm Adam. Talk to you Friday. Take it easy, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.